Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Last Padilla Standing by Joseph M. Padilla is a look back in time, his journey through the years as told by him. Through good memories and stories, his memories, stories passed down through generations, the good times and the bad, his family always seemed to prevail. His story will live on through his pages for future relatives. Joseph is the last male Padilla in his family. He was born in 1932 in a coal mining town called Madrid in central New Mexico between Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Happily married for 52 years, raised three children, two daughters and one son. His wife Alta passed away in 2005, followed by a son who passed away in 2019. Joseph is now retired, enjoys several hobbies. He likes to paint, he's a musician, and of course, a writer. Several other books, including Adventure, The Long Walk, which we discussed on This Week in America. At 89 years old, Joseph is still going strong. He tells his story in The Last Padilla Standing. Joseph Padilla is back with us on This Week in America. Joseph, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
Enjoyed having you with us the last time, and we'll give you the information where the book's available, Joseph's website, as we go through the conversation. Let's talk about the inspiration for this, and I understand it was a family member that asked a question that sort of started this whole process for you. Explain how that happened.
Well, it was my son that we were talking about, you know, our past life and all that. He asked me, Dad, why don't you write a manuscript or a biography about the family history, which is very colorful. Our family was very, very. So I decided to write. And I was in it about 2 months. And my son passed away suddenly of a heart attack. And he'll never get to see my manuscript. But I did it in his honor. So I continued writing. After about 2 months after he passed, I decided it's for his memory, so I continue writing the book.
Well, and you mentioned that in the beginning of the book, and I'm so sorry to hear what happened and what you went through. And going ahead in his memory in writing the story, answering the question that he had of his dad, like basically tell me about yourself. Who are you? And we'll touch on some of the highlights during the course of the conversation today. I love in the beginning, your dad was an older boy, spoke Latin, and that was sort of the basis. Sometimes we take Latin in school and wonder if it's going to do us any good. That really opened the door for other languages for him, didn't it? Including Cantonese, Chinese.
Absolutely right. He was very, very intelligent, my father was. That was back in the early 1900s when he was a young man. You know, he went to school and he took the lesson, the Latin, and he was an altar boy for the Catholic school there. He continued, and he continued pretty good on the Latin. So he knew Latin, and he, from there he got Spanish, Greek, Italian, all the local languages that were used in that area.
That's amazing. Back at that time, someone who knows that many different languages, and it's amazing. And that was a part of growing up in a family that valued learning. Obviously, you did as well. You grew up in the Depression, and you talk vividly in your book, The Last Padilla Standing, about that growing up and the poverty and what you went through. Tell us a little bit about that. We hear about it, but you were there firsthand. How difficult was that for you and the family to survive during that period?
Yes, it was amazing how my memory can remember things when I was a little tiny guy, but I can't remember what I did yesterday. As a child, there's a memory that I have. One day we were in the kitchen. This is back in the 30s when I was just a little tiny guy, maybe three, maybe. And we were having dinner, and my father asked my mother to pass the red chili. And I looked at it, and he enjoyed it so much that I wanted some myself. And my father looked over at my mother, and my mother looked at him and said, "You better not." And, and he handed a little teaspoon full of it, you know, and oh, I'm telling you, I must have made faces that you wouldn't believe, but it's amazing. From that day on, I've been able to eat hot chili, hot peppers, whether green or red, you know. Back in the Depression, beans and potatoes was the thing, you know. My father was a coal miner, thank God that we had a, you know, living in the little town of Madrid. And so from then on, I continued eating my hot stuff.
That wouldn't be recommended in a diet for a young person, but you wanted it, and you talk about that, and I can almost see you sitting there and doing that, and you were going to enjoy that, and you did, or at least let them believe that you were enjoying it. It's just one of the charming stories in Joseph's book, The Last Padilla Standing, and Padilla is spelled, it's like Padilla, P-A-D-I-L-L-A, if you're Googling The Last Padilla Standing, and the website, by the way, his website is JosephPadillaBooks.com, and you will find information there and be able to order the book from there as well. I mentioned where you grew up. Talk about that area, the New Mexico territory, what became a state there in the history there. Talk about that growing up next to the coal mining town there.
Well, my mother's family, my father's family, way back in the early 1800s, they came through, my mother's side went through Florida, and my grandmother's side, they were British, they went through Michigan, up in that area, and it was called the New Spain Territory when they out of Florida, and then in later years, it became the New Mexico Territory, which my family had traveled down. And my grandfather was a spokesperson for the Indian community there, the Native Americans. So that was his job, and it was a very interesting outdoor life there in the pueblos of New Mexico.
What was that like growing up there? And it's a whole different time from your standpoint. And you talk about being in the fields and doing everything there. What was childhood like for you?
It was wonderful, you know. I had a friend that lived down the ways, and him and I, we used to go from the Cochiti Pueblo. No, this is Sile, where my mother was born, Sile Pueblo, and we used to go to the Rio Grande down there, and we'd play water, looking for frogs and all that. And it was very joyful. Well, one day we decided to go up there, and there was the watermelon field, and that was a no-no, you know. But we decided to break a watermelon, and we ate the darn thing. And then we went on to play with the at the river. That was one pleasant memory. And at that time, his mother was a big, heavy lady. She was pregnant. She was ready to have birth. And while we were out there, she had birth. When we came back, we heard that she had sextuplets. None of them lived. But it was kind of a record of birth, you know, six children. And that was kind of one of the sad stories of life back then. But life continued on, and it was very joyful there at Sile Pueblo, where my mother was born.
And you share that, the good times and the bad times. What was it like for you in writing this book, in going back and coming up with these stories, probably stories that you hadn't really thought about in years, but in working on this book, The Last Padilla Standing, you had to bring them back up and think about them. What was it like for you going back all of those years and looking at the formulative years that you had?
Well, it's amazing that my life, I can remember when I was so much when I was a young child, you know, and in school, of course, I remember my schooling and all that. And that's where I had a good time there at 1942, when we left to California, I started late because of my mother's illness. I used to be her caregiver when I was a little guy, and I started at the age of seven. I could have been at the age of five, but I did pretty well. You know, we used to have school plays, we used to have Christmas plays. It was a wonderful time during my school time there in Madrid, and then goes on. And of course, after the Second World War, my father got a chance to come to California. He came to San Francisco, and from there he worked in the Richmond shipyards, and that was a different life altogether for us. We lived in war apartments, in the war apartments, they called it. And it was a great time living. I went to school here. And like I said, I started a little late, so I was one of the older kids in school at all times. But it was great. It was a great time as I was growing up in my teenage years.
Yes. You mentioned you were very quiet during that period and ambitious and always ask a lot of questions. Talk about that. That seemed like you had an inquisitive mind even from an early age.
That's amazing. My grandmother, my father's mother, my grandmother, she used to read the Bible, tell me stories, and she was my inspiration. She was a school teacher at one time in Las Vegas, New Mexico, where she ended up marrying my grandfather there. And she was very nice at teaching me many things. I learned a lot from my grandmother. And they had a ranch, and at one time had cows, but during the Depression, the cows were beginning to be missed. So my grandfather traded for goats, and my grandma was a cheesemaker. And in the town of Madrid, she would come early in the morning, pick me up. The town's about a 7-mile stretch, you know, lengthwise for the coal minings.
Yes.
There was a Morgan mine, and there was several mines over there. But she would take me with her to her customers from one end of town to the other. And it was quite an exciting thing for me. I got to meet a lot of people. And as a kid, that is an adventure in itself. And I still have those memories with her. And of course, after the war started, we came to California, and we ended up in the War Apartments in Richmond. And that was a different life than, you know, I was a teenager. I went to school, and I ended up going from the third grade when I got to California all the way to the 12th grade in El Cerrito High School, where I graduated. And that's that part. And as far as my life, I have very many interesting articles in my book that I went through, and they're hard. It's like I told you again, it's amazing how my memory can remember things in the past.
Oh, yes.
And I can see them vividly, you know, I can see them in my mind, and I still go through that. It's funny how those thoughts have never left me.
It really made an impression, and the book is a fascinating read to find out what Joseph went through. As you're reading that, you can sort of relate to maybe your history, what you went through, similar times of your life, different generations, but similarities there maybe as well. And it also is a slice of history as we're talking about some of the different eras and parts of the country. It's geography as well as it is a piece of history as well. How important, Joseph, is it, do you think, for the older generation to maybe be motivated to do what you did, to leave behind this legacy to your relatives, the generations that have followed you and will follow you, will know much more about you and the family by reading this book? How important is it for other people to sort of document who they are, where they came from, and what they went through?
Well, the reason I wrote the book, more or less, was my son. He wanted to know. And I ended up, after 2 months after he passed, I ended up keep going with the book. And what I think the book, what I wanted to do is to send a message to the family, to fathers and mothers, you know, to tell their stories to their children of the past time, you know. Kids today are kind of different and wild, you know. The parents should be able to tell them a story of their life and let them know how they were back in the hard times, you know. And I hope that somebody will listen to that and tell their children some of the past that they had. It's so interesting once you get into it. That's my thought of the book, is to get somebody to open up their minds to their children and let them know what it was like prior to today's way of living.
And if a young person reads the book, you've got the pursuit of goals, how you went through that in your life, and you've been able to be successful with all phases of your life. That's important for young people to understand as well. Somebody could go, wow, grew up in poverty, the Depression, the family didn't have much of anything. Failure would probably be considered something viable, but you didn't stand for that, did you? You made and established your own life. How important is that for a young reader to be sure to always follow your dreams?
It's wonderful to think back of those things. You know, I'm kind of lost on that one, but to me, it was a pleasure to. I reread my book and I said, wow, all the things that I did, you know, all the way through my teenage years. I met my wife, you know, and we carried it on. And I ended up with that two girls and one boy, my son. And of course, my son has passed, and I still have my two young girls. They're married, they have their own families.
And what a legacy you've left them with the family story. The book is The Last Padilla Standing. That's P-A-D-I-L-L-A by Joseph Padilla. His website is josephpadillabooks.com. You'll find the book at urlinkpublishing.com, Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Joseph's website and get information on the book there as well. You describe yourself as a self-taught writer, and you've written a number of other books, including the one we talked about the last time you were with us on the program. Talk about that. Why you are interested in writing and why you were able to teach yourself and do it so well.
Well, like I said, again, I'll go back to my grandmother, right? You know, and one day a gang of us where I was working, they were talking religious, you know, and it brought to my memory the things that my grandma taught me. And then this story came up to me. The first one was Adventure of the Long Walk and After Christ. And my memory just kept going. And I went back to work and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I went home and started writing my first book. And it's just something given to me. I'm not a writer. I don't read that much. But the stories, they came to me. I still say it's a miracle of God giving me the stories. So I ended up with five Christian stories and, of course, my biography and a children's book. And so that's the way it just came to me. It's just something that came into my mind. I'll put it to you this way. God is the author, and I'm the secretary taking notes.
He dictates, and you're there with a legal pad and writing it all down, and then spreading the word out there. And all those books, by the way, The Nail, Cecilio, The Crucifixer, Aurora, The Child of God, Adventure, The Long Walk After Christ, the one that we discussed, My Vision, A Journey Through the Biblical Truth, and then the children's book that you're talking about. Is the children's book out there now?
Yes, it is. It's called Dragon D and the Fireman.
Now, where did that come from? All of these other books that you've written, your biography, the religious books, and the children's book out there. How much fun was that writing the children's book?
Well, I was working for the Bay Area Rapid Transit. We call them BART here in the Bay Area. And every year they have a great gathering for the family. So my supervisor came up to me and Joe says, but you take care of the children. We need somebody that, you know, will be there more like a babysitter, we'll say, with the kids, you know. And I agreed. It says, I'm going to give you half a day. You go rest somewhere. Give me a half a day out there at work. Go and think about it. And I went, and the thought came to me how at one time the stories for kids were, you know, cartoon Popeye, those kind of cartoons that were making fun of. And to me, that era is gone. And I thought, well, what if I create something? And I kept thinking, what? And I thought about a dragon. I said, a dragon? That's a mean animal. So I decided to make a dragon. I called him Dragon D. And the story went on with Dragon D. And then, of course, he got a job as a fireman. And he had troubles with his big feet. He had giant feet. He had troubles getting a fire truck and all of a sudden, but as the story goes, I think a children would really love it. I did all the cartoon works. Every page has a cartoon on it, basically like the old books, like the old comic books, you know. It came to me, and I just did it, and so far then I put it into book form, and I'm sure if kids ever get a hold of it, I'm sure they'll like it, because Dragon D becomes a very lovable character, and so does the Fire Chief.
Well, and that book is available at Joseph's website, which is Joseph Padilla, P-A-D-I-L-L-A, books.com, along with all the other books and the book that we've been talking about on the program today, The Last Padilla Standing, Joseph Padilla back with us on the program. It's a remarkable story. He looks back on his life. It's the story that's told through his eyes, his story, and he is the author in telling us about it. And it's such a remarkable story, vivid memory, especially of those childhood years and the first time he had chili, and he enjoyed it and kept it in his diet for the rest of his life. Joseph, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
It is great to have Joseph back with us on the program. The first one we talked about, as I mentioned, was the book Adventure, The Long Walk. That's available in our archives, video on YouTube. This book, The Last Padilla Standing, Joseph N. Padilla. The book is available wherever books are sold. His website is josephpadillabooks.com. You'll find it at Amazon, yourlinkpublishing.com. And go to our website. You can link on directly and go to Joseph's website. Order the book there as well. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.